The canon law of the Episcopal Church allows and encourages bishops from time to time to send to their congregations a pastoral letter to be read by all at all the churches on Sunday morning. Bishop Hoagland has sent us such a pastoral letter. So for our homily today, I'm going to read the bishop's letter, and then Bill James is going to share a brief story related to the letter. To the people of the Diocese of Western Michigan, as we make final preparations for the 144th Diocesan Convention of the Episcopal Diocese of Western Michigan, I request your fervent prayers for our diocese, for the communities we serve, and for our nation. We need God's help and your support to expand and energize our work of healing and reconciliation, to address the growing divisions in American life. A little less than 3 days after the gavel closes on our 144th Diocesan Convention, I lost my place, apologize. America's polls will open for the 2018 midterm election. When the polls finally close, Americans could end up more bitterly divided than we are already. No matter who wins, all of us might end up losing. I am concerned about this growing chasm of distrust and fear amongst us and the increasing hostility being expressed towards entire segments of our varied communities. This distrust and fear is the opposite of the spirit of reconciliation embodied in the work of the Episcopal Church. As Episcopalians, our mission is to restore all people to unity with God and each other as we pray and worship, proclaim the gospel, and promote justice, peace, and love. The challenges facing the Jesus movement in Western Michigan are enormous, and among the most urgent is the need for racial reconciliation. This is also an area where we are well positioned to take important new steps toward effective action. In 2017, our diocesan convention passed a resolution calling for the development of a policy and procedure requiring that, quote, persons running for any elected diocesan position must have completed an approved course of study on racial reconciliation. Our diocesan commission on dismantling racism has done great work. Working in conjunction with your bishop, they have developed a policy and procedure that was passed unanimously by your diocesan council at its September 2018 meeting. Regardless of who you are, your background, or your beliefs, we are all shaped by systems, including within the church, in which attitudes, social practices, and power dynamics intentionally and unintentionally create unfair advantages or disadvantages for groups of people based on race. Simply put, racism is prejudice coupled with power. Racism, in all its varieties, exists to help those holding power and control to maintain power and control. It is only when we see and recognize the overarching role of racism as a system that we can begin to examine its consequences and seek ways to change. Our sincere engagement in dismantling racism is a necessary step towards making visible God's likeness and goodness in every person. As your bishop, I now call upon us to take up our mission, to seek restoration and unity by fully giving ourselves to the work of dismantling racism in our lives. The new policy and procedure for dismantling racism in the Episcopal Diocese of Western Michigan outlines a course of study on racism awareness and reconciliation. Phase 1, understanding the history of racism, U.S. origins of racism, institutional racism, awareness of personal bias. Phase 2, committing to intentional personal and public change. Phase 3, creating a parish plan and determining outcomes to be measured and follow-up activities to maintain momentum. This will not be easy work. It will require humility, vulnerability, honesty, and courage. It will take graceful listening with gentle responses. It will require patience and prayer, lots of prayer, as we seek to shift our awareness and our actions so we might become agents of healing and reconciliation in our communities and in our time. I look forward to taking up this work with you and moving deeper into our relationship with God as we move deeper into relationship with one another. I am honored to be your bishop. May the blessing of God Almighty be with us now and always. The Right Reverend Wayne M. Hoagland, Jr., 9th Bishop, the Episcopal Diocese of Western Michigan.
Good morning. I'd like to share with you an experience that I had about a year ago during the convention last November. You heard in Bishop Hoagland's letter this morning that we did pass the resolution to create a policy and procedure to begin to restore and heal racism in our diocese and in the world. That initiative has been going on for a number of years with the commission that has existed for as many. During convention, the whole weekend, there was discussion about this resolution, understanding that it was going to come to a vote toward the end on Saturday afternoon, and many people got up and spoke here and there. I even got up at one point and spoke for the resolution. The discussion around the resolution was always positive. It was always, we're going to do this. It's natural. We got to do this. It was always about, well, how do we go about it? Who do we send it to? Do we send it to diocesan council? Do we send it to the bishop? How is it going to work? Is it elected officials? Is it everybody in every church? How does it all work out? Toward the end of the convention, just before we got to the point when we were going to vote on this resolution, a man got up, a black man, and he was crying. And he spoke against the resolution, saying that we should all vote no on the resolution. And I didn't understand at the time. It was very confusing, and I think most of us didn't understand entirely either. He spoke for a little while, and By the time that he got done, there probably wasn't much of a dry eye in the whole convention hall. Well, of course, over the next day or so, the Holy Spirit came along, and I can't remember exactly what it is that Randall always says, but finally, suddenly appeared. This man was not saying that we should not have a policy or that we should not work toward, racial healing. No. He was saying we shouldn't have to have a rule. We shouldn't need a policy. It should be natural for all of us to not want racism. So we shouldn't have to go through classes. We shouldn't have to have rules. It should just happen. And we should all here know that. Now, Jesus brings us two laws. And we all know them. We all remember them. Law number one, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Rule two, love your neighbor as yourself. Bartimaeus, in this morning's gospel, cried after Jesus. And when he was asked, "What is it that you want?" he said, "I want to see." Well, this man that I met last year, and many like him, have cried out for years to Jesus and to each one of us. And when he and they are asked, "What is it that you want?" their response is, "We want all people to be the same. We want us all to love each other. We don't want divisions. We don't want racism." My brothers and sisters, no matter who they are, no matter what color they are, what race, what religion, what sex, sexuality, whatever, our instructions are love your neighbor as yourself. I would urge you to follow, to pay attention, and to contribute to the four phases that the bishop has talked about in his letter. That's not going to happen instantaneously. It will probably happen over a year or so, or maybe more. But it is our responsibility to do our best to love our neighbors and end racism. Amen.